This summer, the Office of Sustainability is focusing our sustainable spotlight on people that are doing good sustainable work around the Charleston community. You can join us for more podcasts at synergies.cfc.edu. Welcome again to the Sustainability Spotlight Podcast. I'm here with Emma, and today we're interviewing Lisa Ann Helmley. She is a local children's book author, entrepreneur, registered dietitian, nutritionist, holistic healthcare practitioner, and Reiki master. She wrote the book Princess Loggerhead's Gratitude Journey, which is featured at Folly Beach and Amazon.com. Well, thanks for coming. Let's start with you just telling us a little bit more about yourself and what you do.
Okay, well, good afternoon, and thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
So excited to share. I was born in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, not too far from Charleston, okay. And I left at 18 for educational and career pursuits and was gone for about 25 years. Wow. And later have come back to Charleston, South Carolina, and here we are.
So what brought you back to South Carolina?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if I have a precise answer to that other than aging parents and things of that nature that you just feel you need to come back home.
Okay. So I think we should start, if you want to talk about your book. So what made you want to write it in the first place?
Well, I'll tell you, that is interesting that you should bring that up. Because I would like to share with you my process was quite unlike the traditional process for writing a book. Most people write the story, hire an illustrator, and they collaborate and produce a book. My long-time life friend since third grade, she's a wonderful artist, and she had a bunch of pictures, and one day I just said, you know, we just need to create a children's book here to showcase your artwork. So that's how it began. We sort of had that conversation and didn't do anything with it. You know that feeling?
Yeah.
And then one night, early morning, about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I was woken up and just downloaded this message. And it was actually the last page of the book. And so it kind of went backwards. You usually start with the first page. Mm. I started with the very last page.
Okay.
And although her book was written, I gathered her pictures and sort of wrote the book based on her pictures. And she would fill in if I needed a new picture for a page. This page was not created yet. Mm-hmm. So I think it's one of those mysteries that you just trust and go with. And I knew if I didn't get in that process, I was going to be awakened every night and be told, get up, go to work. So the book actually began with the very last page, and it states, go ahead, little loggerheads, just follow the light. Sometimes we just need a little help finding our way home. As the good friends shared, as they encouraged the hatchlings to head towards the brightest horizon.
So how do you think starting with the last page like affected the rest of the book?
Well, one thing I can tell you is that this book has many meanings, both overt and some covert, if you will, or at least a little deeper if you look into it. And the very last page shows the little loggerheads following the light of the moon and the stars towards the brightest horizon. I find that is symbolic on many levels, such as keep moving through the darkness towards the light and experience your brightest horizon. And I think everyone can relate to that. Mm. We have dark periods. Right. Just keep moving, guys. Just keep moving.
I think it's really cool too that it's written as like a children's book too. What specifically, like, why did you want to write about the loggerhead turtle and like conservation and gratitude?
again, it wasn't like I had this vision. Mm-hmm. The vision came to me, and it just seemed fitting. I created the story, but my friend Margaret Ann Rowland, who's the artist, Princess Loggerhead, the actual character, the turtle, is her creation. And she lived and worked in Folly Beach for a while, and when they would be involved in local parades or community activities, that was the character she created, Princess Loggerhead. So it seemed fitting to me, as the story was coming to me, to show gratitude for all the efforts of all the coastal communities, and in particular Folly Beach, South Carolina, for what they do for the preservation and conservation efforts for this ancient reptile that dates back to the days of the dinosaurs, mm-hmm. which I find really absolutely cool. Phenomenal.
Yeah, it's cool reading the book because it has a lot of information in it about sea turtles and sea turtle preservation.
Yes.
But yet, since it is a children's book, it's still explained in such a nice, easy way.
Absolutely.
So that these kids are learning at such a young age what protecting endangered species even means.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And the book specifically showcases what they do, whether it is taking care of the environment, Lights Out Turtle Watch. We all know that with all the new development, these creatures can get confused and not make it towards where they need to go, back to sea, where they belong. And as well as preserving the nesting sites so new life can actually happen and continue.
So why do you think gratitude is an important message, especially for young readers?
Gratitude is to appreciate by recognizing something, that something is valuable to you. It affirms the goodness in the world that exists outside of ourselves. To experience gratitude personally gives me hope. Conservation is important and ties in with that, because much time and energy comes from individuals and communities that get involved in conservation efforts. And they are well deserving of gratitude for all of their efforts. To experience gratitude from a conservation efforts gives the world hope.
I like that it's coming from a place of gratitude, because I feel like a lot of times when we talk about the environment or conservation, it's really everything's bad, everything's, global warming, all the endangered species are dying, we need to fix it. But it's kind of nice to be people are doing things, and there's hope, and there's things that we can do. And I feel like that positive message is more effective almost, and kind of encouraging people to do better.
Oh, Tanner, you're absolutely right, because it's hope that makes us want to get out of bed the next day. It's hope that makes us feel good when we go to bed the night before. Mm-hmm. So without hope, the world would be a really dark place.
Oh, I totally agree. I think it's good to give the message, like you said. When I think people respond so much better to a positive message than a negative one. So when you're sitting there and you're just we should protect the environment because we should be thankful and grateful for what it has given us, instead of we should protect the environment so that we don't all die. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Instead, you're looking at it from a positive perspective.
Plus the positive, always. Yeah, we can find enough negative out there.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
Just turn on the TV.
Right.
Better yet, turn it off. Okay? Plus the positive.
Definitely. Before writing the book, were you interested or concerned about conservation or anything like that before?
You know, I've always been a fan of those efforts, and may have in various volunteer capacities have gotten involved. I cannot take credit for what these wonderful people in the coastal communities and the Folly Beach sea turtle activists do. They're the ones really out there doing the hard work. So, in gratitude, folks, we thank you.
With that in mind, how does all this relate? Because you also do Reiki healing, right?
Absolutely.
Would you like to talk about that a little bit and what that is?
Sure.
Because I think that's one of those things that not a lot of people really know about.
Okay, let's do it.
I know a little bit, but not a ton, but I'd be interested in learning.
learning more about that. Reiki is an alternative healthcare, alternative and complementary healthcare technique of Japanese origins for stress reduction and relaxation that promotes healing. Once we can get our body in a more relaxed state, the body knows what to do to heal itself, or at least move in that direction. The practitioner can lay their hands on or just above the recipient, and the practitioner acts as a channel of a universal life force energy to activate the natural healing process. I think it's important to recognize the energy comes through the practitioner, not from the practitioner. So we can all tap into this, and we can all be trained or learn any healing modality or many healing modalities. So it's not like there are just certain of us that are special and have this gift. We all have tremendous gifts and opportunities available to us.
How did you get involved with Reiki?
Well, I actually started sensing something in my 20s, some sort of energy field, if you will, around my hands. I had no idea what it was, didn't know what I was doing, thought, oh yeah, I better hang out in the closet with this one before they before they stamp me with crazy, you know. So, and I actually probably did that a good deal. But I did do something like Reiki with my hands on certain friends and didn't really know what I was doing, but it seemed to be the right thing to do at the time. So eventually, through exposure and trainings, I gained more understanding and developed this actual technique so I could do it the right way instead of just guessing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So how does that, like your practice with Reiki, how does that like relate back to the messages of like conservation and gratitude?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, one of the organizations that I'm involved with is Reiki for Vets, and we provide Reiki for disabled veterans, their spouses, and their caregivers, and even their healthcare providers. I look at our veterans as they've already paid their dues. They've already served, and this is our opportunity to give back to them. I can't imagine what they experience with post-traumatic stress syndrome. We've all experienced stress, and many of us post-traumatic stress. I think theirs goes to another level, and they chose to do that. They chose to make that sacrifice for each and every one of us. And I think it's important for us to try to step in and do what we can. I think that number, I believe it's, there's a certain number of 20 something, I don't know if it, what it is up to now, like 21 or 22 supposedly veterans who commit suicide a day.
Oh yeah, that's and pretty high.
When I heard that, I stopped in my tracks. Said, we're not doing something right here. We're abandoning them. So it just felt like the right thing to do.
I feel like that really does tie back to gratitude. Like
Right, gratitude and social conservation, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah.
Because if we can help them get to a more relaxed state and manage their stress, you know, it sort of sparks the natural healing process within them. So it works wonderfully as an alternative and complementary healthcare modality, as opposed to just going traditional medicine mm-hmm. that oftentimes can over-medicate us.
Yeah. Because that's a whole other problem is when you are over-medicated.
Absolutely. And I know there's a time and a place for everything and a need for everything.
Yeah.
But people need to know there are alternatives.
And I like how you said that Reiki can be used like with traditional medicine as well.
Absolutely. We're not trying to stomp out because I realize there are all sorts of needs out there.
Yeah.
And I can only offer what I can do,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not a medical doctor,
yeah.
you know, I'm not a pharmacist, or I'm not any other medical professional on that level, but what I can do is Reiki. Mm-hmm.
So how do you think doing Reiki, specifically like working with veterans, how has that impacted you as an individual?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. It's wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful and quite rewarding to connect with the participants and witness them feeling better after a treatment. And a light bulb goes off. It sort of gives them hope. If I give them hope, I'm giving myself hope, you know, and it's like a mutual exchange of this gratitude and hope, and we all just feel a little better about ourselves and about the world at the end of the day. And I think that's kind of what we're all trying to achieve.
I think so.
I will say my view on sustainability involves making an impact by leaving a person, a place, or a situation better than before I made that contact or interaction. That's what sustainability is to me. You know, if I can just keep my vision on, even the slightest thing, what can we do here? Mm-hmm. What can we do here to make a positive difference? And instead of taking and depleting, how do we give back? Or how do we get the ball rolling in that direction, okay? So the energy force can be positive and uplifting and healing, if you will. So for me, that is what Reiki does to the receiver and the giver. And how that connects with my other work, it promotes mental, physical, and spiritual well-being.
I like that. I think that's really cool. I also like that kind of definition of sustainability. And I think, like, even, you know, like, people don't usually think of, like, sustainability as, like, something that could connect to, like, the Reiki healing and stuff. But
that's
I
right.
think, you know, any kind of positive thing you do that keeps you and others, like, motivated or uplifted or give people hope is part of sustainability, because part of sustainability is, like, the social aspect. And if people aren't doing well, then we can't make things better, we can't give back.
It's the ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ripple effect.
It,
you know, you affect that one person. You're not just affecting that one person. You're affecting every person, every animal, every situation that they come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
So it truly just continues to ripple and ripple and ripple. So whether you're doing Reiki or just smiling at someone when you're walking across the street, you know, it does make a difference. Makes a difference.
Do you have any more questions?
I have one question. Are we going to see a Princess Loggerhead sequel?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
If you asked my friend and artist, Margaret Ann Rowling, she'd say, I'm on it.
Okay.
You know, so, I don't know. I don't know. But I think there are going to be many sequels to this life in any life form we can positively touch.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. That's a good answer.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good work, girls.
Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to hear more, you can go to synergies.cfc.edu.